We're going to be studying this fascinating story about Jesus from the gospel account here. One of my favorite and most touching stories in the gospels is where Jesus has his feet washed by this sinful woman. I want to begin by looking at this story. And as we're thinking about our work week this week and our young people and young people from Bartlett Woods coming and working with us and serving one of the most unfortunate populations among us, those who are orphaned, those who are neglected, those who are abandoned and not given the needs they most need by those who have brought them into this life. And so as we're thinking about showing mercy and compassion and serving this population and doing what we can to assist and bless New Pathways and the people coming to serve in that capacity, this is a great story to remind us of our attitude and how our attitude should be, and also of how, because we've been loved so much, we should be willing to love back. Let's begin by reading the story. In Luke 7, beginning at verse number 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Of course, they reclined at the table, and at this time, only men would have been eating there, but it's different than what we often think of in that people could come and go. It could be kind of a situation where other people could come and look in and see what was going on and be able to investigate. And of course, Jesus being a celebrity and Simon probably being someone of influence, there were servers coming about. There were probably gawkers and people outside that were just interested. They're going to be watching. And in the midst of this, a woman, verse 37, of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. So this woman, who was known publicly for her sinfulness, now it's often been assumed that she was a harlot or a prostitute, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. That's only assumption. It's also been assumed that this was Mary Magdalene. But that's probably a church tradition that's been added. There's nothing in Scripture that would make us believe this was Mary Magdalene. But she was a woman who was known publicly as a sinner. And thus she can identify with all of us in the story who are sinners. And she brings this alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, she begins to weep. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then as she had been overcome with emotion, we find out, it seems, that earlier she had met Jesus. And she had been forgiven. She had been saved and had the forgiveness of her sins offered to her. And now it seems that she hears that Jesus is in her town. And she's thinking about this new life she's got, and she's thinking about the change Jesus has brought in her life, and she comes to Jesus, and as she sees him there, she becomes overcome with emotion, so that she begins to weep. I don't think, in studying this, I don't think that she intended to weep. I think she came to anoint his feet with this alabaster flask of ointment, but when she was doing that, the emotions got to her. And she began to weep. Well, then she noticed that his feet were getting wet with her tears. So then she does something very uncustomary. She lets down her long hair, which Jewish women kept up, bound tightly, and did not let out in public. And she begins, because that was her only thing she had to use, she didn't have a towel, she begins to wipe and cleanse his feet with her hair and anoints him with this ointment. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Jesus, knowing Simon's heart, knowing Simon was thinking this, said, I have something to say. And Simon says, say it, teacher. Go ahead and tell me what you're going to say. But now, verse 41. He tells this story, and Simon's probably thinking, what's the deal with this story? You know, how does this relate to me? Well, let's see the story. There was a certain moneylender who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, but canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Cancel the debt of both. Which of them is going to love him more? Now, let's just suppose in this idea here, one owed 500 and the other owed 50, Jesus says. Now, this is a parable that's not to be taken to extremes. In other words, not all of it can be applied. In other words, Jesus or God, who is pictured here as the moneylender, is not exactly like an ungracious moneylender might be, or a hard-hearted moneylender. But this moneylender is going to be pictured as being gracious. And he cancels the debt. Jesus asks, which one's going to love him more? Which one's going to love him more? The one who was forgiven 500 or the one who was forgiven 50? Verse 43, Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Well, obviously everybody had seen the woman. That's one of the most greatest understatements of Jesus in the Bible. I mean, she's sobbing. She's wiping his feet with her hair. And she is anointing him with this fragrant alabaster ointment. Now notice, he's calling attention to her. Obviously, Simon had seen her. And he says, I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now, some versions say have been forgiven because it's in the perfect tense. In other words, it's happened previously, and those actions are continuing to the present. She had been forgiven, and she is forgiven. She stands in the state of being forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Notice, if you were to have a fancy Tom Cruise spy movie, and you know, they kind of like zoom in with these things and they like a drone, buzz around and look at this character, then look at this character, and then look at that one, and you get different views. And sometimes in those movies, it like may go into the mind, and you see what this person's thinking. Well, what I want to do is I want to picture us dropping into this scene, and let's look at each of these three characters and kind of go into their mind and learn something from each of these three characters: Simon, the woman, and Jesus. First of all, let's think about Simon the Pharisee. All of us are like Simon at some times in our life. Simon apparently wanted to judge Jesus. He says, when this woman is anointing Jesus' feet, he said, if this man were a prophet, and of course earlier people in the Gospels, people were saying Jesus was a prophet, and that was being debated. Is Jesus really a prophet? And Simon is testing Jesus. He's wanting to find out, is he really a prophet? And he's saying, surely if this woman is touching his feet, and a sinful woman, then he's not a prophet. He would know and not allow this woman to touch his feet. We can't be for sure of his motives of why he wanted to have Jesus. But we can be for sure that he did not value and respect him as he should have. He probably, like all the Pharisees it seemed, was only wanting to find a reason to criticize Jesus. The Pharisees were constantly trying to test him. I don't know about those of you here that are driving yet, how many of you aren't driving? But you know, most of us, the older, we even still do this. When you go by and you see a cop parked on the side of the road, most of us don't initially think, man, I am thankful they are there protecting and serving us. Now, that we're thankful for that. And I'm certainly thankful with all the things going on in our culture, we need to esteem and respect and appreciate our law enforcement. In fact, we did a recent appreciation of our law enforcement of this area at our church here. But most of us think when we first see that is, oh, I hope I'm not speeding. Because they're usually doing that in patrolling and watching, and they got that little radar gun, and they're being critical of people going down the road so that they can stop violators of the law. I think that's how we often can get into looking at other people. We can be like an officer who's just watching everybody through a radar lens, trying to find people doing wrong. And if we hang out with these kind of people, if we run around with them, we're going to be judgmental and harsh and critical too. The Pharisees were always trying to find what somebody was doing wrong. And here this man had Jesus in his home, and he lacked to show basic hospitality because he was trying to judge Jesus. If you're trying to be critical of other people, then you yourself often find that you don't do what you should to them because you're already prejudging them, being prejudiced toward them, and being harsh and condemning. Here he had the Son of God in his room, and he did not show him the common hospitality he would of most any man of any kind of reputation in Jerusalem if they had come into his home. You see, he did not even afford Jesus what he would have given most any other man because he was judgmental in his spirit. We must not fall in to being inhospitable. We must treat every person with kindness and hospitality. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels." But notice he also lacked compassion. He lacked compassion for the woman. Think about what most of us do when someone comes in crying. Most of us get uncomfortable. Sometimes we'll try to stop them from crying. We'll try to, you know, what's wrong? What can I do to help you? Maybe if even we might say, oh, you know, if it's an injury or something in a little child, we'll say, oh, you don't have to cry. Here's a woman crying so much. I don't know how many tears it takes to wet feet, but I don't think I have ever cried that many tears. She cried enough tears to wet Jesus' feet. And Simon could only say, she's a sinful woman. Why is Jesus letting her touch his feet? And notice, Jesus' feet had not been cleansed like they should have been by Simon. So his feet were filthy. So you think about those tears falling upon that sandy, dirty foot. And how she takes her hair and cleanses this foot. And then cleanses the other foot. You think about how he lacked compassion for the woman. And then, thus we would say about him, that he lacked humility of heart. You see, the main problem with Simon is he did not see his own sins. In the story that Jesus tells, and rightly so, he would have judged himself as the one owing 50 denarii. In his own estimation, he is 450 denarii different. In other words, she may have been forgiven 500, but he's way down at 50. And the problem is, this is, as Jesus tells the story, was to relate to him. It's not Jesus saying his sins are less. Did you get that? Jesus looked at his sins, it seems, as great as hers. And his point is, you don't recognize your sins, so you have no gratitude and love Because you estimate your sins as only being 50. And there's a stark difference in your own mind between the other lady. And what Jesus is saying is, if you could just estimate your sins properly, if you could have humility of heart, then you could show love too. I think about this question, and then I'm going to move on to our next character. But how high do you estimate your sins? Think about that. When I read that story earlier, were you the 500 person or the 50 person? Were you thinking, you know what, the sins I've done, not very many. I haven't done many sins. But I can think about some other people. They're the 500 person. However high you estimated your sins is going to correlate directly with how much you love God. That's the message of Jesus' parable. That's the message that a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. But let's move on. Let's talk about the forgiven woman. We call her the sinful woman, but I think it's really better to call her the forgiven woman. Notice that she had been forgiven. All of us can be this woman and should be. Traditionally, I mentioned this was thought as Mary Magdalene, but there's no biblical evidence of that. Some versions will render this in verse 47 as have been forgiven, which it seems is the idea and helps our story make so much more sense. She had been forgiven. Now she hears Jesus is there, so she now goes in to show gratitude to Jesus. Maybe she would, for whatever reason, she had not been able to properly show gratitude earlier, so she goes to tell Jesus how much she loved and how grateful she was. She had been forgiven. It explains why she came. Notice that she comes to worship out of love. This morning we talked about worship, and our word of the week with one word is worship. Notice that her amount of forgiveness she believes is going to directly determine how she views worship. I talked this morning about how worship centers us, and one of the key aspects of worship is the Lord's Supper, and how worship at the Lord's Supper reminds us of our sins. If we don't understand our sinfulness and how we have been forgiven, then we don't see the need to worship. You see, her love found expression. Does our love find expression in acts of gratitude? In other words, worship is really about kissing toward. It's about saying thank you. And if you don't want to worship, then you don't realize you're forgiven. Think about that. If you don't care about praising God, if you don't care about celebrating the Lord's Supper, then you don't have a recognition that you're saved, that you're forgiven. She was emotional. That brings us another thought. And I'm certainly often not very good at this. But are we very emotional in worship? We're very emotional. I'm not saying, and I don't think it's humanly possible for us to be like she was every time in worship. This is a special circumstance. But because of her grief and because of her gratitude, she doesn't care. She doesn't care what anybody says. She doesn't care that she's interrupting the meal. She doesn't care that Simon is talking about her. All she cares is about Jesus. So she's weeping, and this is not, I don't believe, planned. This is just comes out of her love. She's weeping, and she is emotional. We need to have times of emotion. She needed, and I want you to notice this, that apparently she needed to be reminded of her forgiveness. You know, old Satan wants to constantly remind us of our past. Young people, he'll do that to you. He'll constantly want to bring up the sins that you've done in the past and make you feel guilty in the present. And I believe he tells this woman, and he's wanting to tell this woman through the eyes in the mouths of all the townspeople on a daily basis who are just like Simon. That's the sinful woman. That's the old prostitute. Oh, they say she's changed, but you know how she always has been. I don't really believe she's changed. And so Jesus is going to tell her twice. Audibly, He's going to tell her, she's been forgiven. She's been forgiven. And then He tells her, go in peace. It's important, and let me tell you something. All of us need to hear it and be reminded regularly that we have been forgiven. It's not like that once you come up out of the baptismal water, that then you never feel any more guilt and that you never worry or struggle with the feelings of guilt anymore. It's just like in a human relationship. If someone forgives you, you're still probably going to feel guilt the next day. And many times you're going to have to be re-forgiven, if you will, each day until it becomes a reality for you because of that guilt. She needed to be reminded that she was forgiven. I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about hospice nurses and what hospice teaches. And you might have heard this. This was a book that was pretty popular that was written several years ago. And they encourage patients who are facing the end of their life to talk to their loved ones about four key things. Say to them and have them say to them these four general ideas. Number one, please forgive me. Number two, I forgive you. Well, that's powerful. To be able to go to your grave knowing and your family knowing that you forgive them of anything they might have guilt with. And wanting to be forgiven for anything that might be offended with. Number three, thank you. Thank you for your love. And number four, I love you. I love you. And in hospice, in the book and things, talk about how when families can go through this process, how it helps so much in the healing afterwards, and how important it is for the person being able to let go in the present to be able to find forgiveness. But when I thought about that, and I thought about this story, it's so important to realize that it often needs to be audibly said. And here's a woman that Jesus says twice, so she can hear, she is forgiven. She's forgiven. She needed to be reminded of her forgiveness. But finally, our third character that we want to look at is Jesus. And of course, this is a character that all of us want to be the most alike. And I want to say about Jesus that, first of all, He accepted Simon's invitation. He accepted his invitation to come. You know, it would have been easy. I would think it would be safe to say that it's not like Jesus went there to have a good time. He knew He was probably going to be judged. He might have known that this woman was going to come. This might have been the reason why He went. It also is the case that I don't believe you can prove in Scripture. Anytime Jesus was asked to go to someone's house, that He said no. Jesus knew He was going into a place where He was going to have radars all over Him and was going to be judged, where He would not get any hospitality, yet He still went. He still went. I think what Jesus teaches us is that we need to be willing to go where sinners are. But we have to be careful about that, don't we? Because we don't need to act like sinners. And we don't need to use that as an excuse to do what sinners are doing. But we also need to understand that we need to call sinners to repentance. And we need to be willing to accept their invitations when they invite us and when we can be around them. But also, and I think this is very key here, when everybody was being critical, and it would have been the political and social thing to do to be critical of this woman, Jesus was not critical. It's one thing to go along with people who are sinners, but it's another thing to jump in and talk the same way sinners talk. I don't know about you, but If I'm around people a long time that are talking real negative and are always criticizing others, then I can become negative and criticize others too. And so we have to guard who we run with and who we spend a lot of time with. But notice, as I was saying, he was open to sinners. And he wanted to teach them and he wanted to remind them to be humble of heart and to remember their sins. And most importantly, he taught gratitude and love flow from the forgiven. If you think about it, there's two train tracks that run parallel in this story. On one train track is God's love and grace, His forgiveness. On the other train track is human gratitude and love. Here's the thing. Those two are parallel. Whenever we receive God's grace, mercy, and love, we should respond with love and gratitude and service. We love much because we've been forgiven much. And if we don't recognize that forgiveness, then we will love little. And so he taught that gratitude and love flow from the forgiven, from forgiven individuals. This evening, I want you to ask yourself the question, what did you learn? And what do you need to learn? Do you need to not be like Simon, judgmental and critical and harsh? Do you need to be like the sinful woman who becomes the forgiven woman and shows that in emotion and love and gratitude? And do you need to be like Jesus, open to sinners, calling them to repentance? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, we're going to sing a hymn to encourage you. Please come as together we stand and as we sing.